Good afternoon. Can everyone see the screen?
Yep, Mary Alice, the screen looks good.
Great. Thank you for that verification. Good afternoon. One of the ways General Motors achieves total employee engagement and energy efficiency is through our global best practice process. The strength of this process really is truly determined by the level of employee engagement in regard to the innovation, full development, implementation, and sustainment of those processes across the organization. In the last Save Energy Now Leader webinar, I don't know which of you participated in that, but the representative from Alcoa mentioned that the sharing of best practices can be referred to as one of the five pillars of energy efficiency, and the need for rapid sharing to accelerate the gains that are achieved through quick implementation of those practices. I thought that was a neat analogy and wanted to share that with everyone today. I'm going to quickly share with you today General Motors' program for global sharing of best practices and the structure or protocol that's been put in place to facilitate the success of this program. In summary, the General Motors best practice process is a database system used for capturing, sharing, and tracking implementation of approved best practices globally. These best practices have the flexibility to be implemented globally, regionally, and/or at the plant level, and are associated with the various functions involved in a manufacturing facility, whether it be an assembly, stamping, or powertrain facility. But the overriding goal being quick sharing and implementation of the best practices with the intent to maximize the reduction of waste in our operations across the globe. There are a few key steps that we've implemented that have increased our process productivity, performance, and our effectiveness, I believe. First, there needs to be a structure or a protocol that provides a framework for the users to follow. I'll quickly review our existing account process as we continue to consolidate and increase our efficiencies internally. Leadership participation and commitment is imperative to drive the proper focus and the proper sense of urgency. Second, you need some common or some database or spreadsheet application for capturing, sharing, and tracking the implementation status of each best practice. This does not need to be a very complicated system, but just a simple way of tracking the status of these best practices. And one of the key features that we really appreciate is the automatic notification characteristic of the system. It's critical in driving speed and efficiency into your process. And I'll get into this a little bit more detailed in a minute. But third, the structure needs to provide a form of layered audit in order to provide follow-up and verification of the expected results. And we heard a little bit of that just a few minutes ago. And a final thing is definitely, and we also heard how important it is to have frequent and continually updated training. That is key to ensuring that all the users are consistently implementing the process in a common manner and maintaining the constancy of the program and its intent overall. Extremely important as we go through so many changes, especially General Motors lately, and a lot of flexibility needs to be incorporated, but you need to continue to train so new people, new organizations stay in step and keep the program running as efficiently as possible. I've listed here a few of our what I call grounding definitions of the process that have helped maintain the effectiveness of our process. First of all, best practice ideas are implemented prior to submittal into the database. These ideas have been, the intent is that it doesn't tie up the process with proving the implementation and the operation. it met the financial criteria of your organization already. It provides the necessary payback for implementation. And the preliminary analysis, the engineering, has all been developed. It's a proven, implementable best practice, and that will really help in maintaining the efficiency of your implementation status process. The next thing is that, like I mentioned earlier, that the database system needs to be very flexible and quickly to allow for quick manipulation for filtering of the data and reporting implementation status. There's many variables within the system, and you should allow yourself to be able to filter, to sort through those different variables to make sure that you can share all of the best practices across as many users as possible. So you got to make sure that system is flexible and easy to use. But the focus of the process is definitely the key is to keep it simple. In our program, the best practice ideas are submitted through the plant champions and reported up through their account meeting structure, and then it's approved by the overall account champions. And again, I'm going to show you this detailed in a little bit. The next slide. The savings are captured, primarily the net savings, and they're to help for ongoing prioritization of where to focus your resources in the event that you get many best practices in the system. By capturing the savings, you'll be able to focus on the high savings initiatives. And the best practices are to be shared globally, of course, to maximize the reduction of waste across the globe for your organization. Just some key initiatives in regard to our process. Over the past year, General Motors has driven many efficiencies into our organization, as you can imagine. Our best practice process was included in one of those processes that consolidated our financial review process, a sufficiency plan process, along with our best practice program. This initiative alone drove several efficiencies, including combined meeting structures, report outs, conference calls, personnel leadership assignments. It provided a focus on implementation of site-specific plans, common meeting structures, and facilitated quick sharing across plants with still the goal of driving waste out of our operations. So the next slide kind of shows an overall summary of this consolidated process. It utilized a common team of leadership, and I'll go into this structure a little bit more detailed in a minute. But it utilized a separate leadership structure into one common theme instead of having separate meetings. There was a specific focus, opportunity for specific single site application of its initiatives, but also this multiple site applicability was made available through our best practice program. And this is all incorporated on a common website that I'll show you in a minute. Let's look at the meeting structure a little more closely. The consolidated meeting structure incorporates plant account leaders coordinated by function. When I say function or sector, in our company, we divided these out by assembly, stamping, and our original powertrain, casting, engine, and transmission plants. So by driving this through assigned plant champions provided this process and engaged the employees directly in the innovation through implementation of this meeting structure. So you'll hear me refer to an account champion meeting, a functional level meeting, and then within the plant, each of the plant champions. So true employee engagement at all levels of the corporation. Focusing on only the best practice process throughout this meeting structure, you can see the various roles of leadership in processing of the best practices. At the plant level, best practices are innovated and implemented. At the function or sector level, the best practices are fully developed, shared amongst their sector from the plants, and then approved for regional and global sharing. The overall champion leadership drives implementation and approval of new best practices as they come into the region. Another key position in our program is the subject matter experts. They provide a key role in the integrity of the best practice development. They provide technical expertise and analysis to support the best practice development on an as-needed basis. They provide support and development of the best practices for global sharing, and also support the separate cost councils in assessing the globally shared best practices from other regions. So it's a key position that needs to be incorporated into the development of the best practices, is to make sure that we have the subject matter expertise involved in the development. This will save you a lot of time in developing that best practice and, of course, driving implementation. These are some example reports that we use at some of the levels, different level meeting structures. At the overall account level, there's a summary that shows the status by each sector. The sector level meetings show the status, implementation status of each plant. And at the plant level, you get both a detail and a summary by account. There's also a detailed report available of implementation of every best practice across every single facility. So these are some examples of some of the templated reports that can come out of these systems. This flowchart identifies the process a new practice will go through as it's introduced, with the intent of gaining approval and eventually global sharing. I'll walk through this very quickly and explain how you can see it goes through the various meeting structure that I talked about earlier and does incorporate the subject matter expert. Again, the best practice idea is implemented in a plant. This can be a suggestion from upper leadership, from headquarters, from our UAW representatives, right at the plant level, any way it gets introduced, but that best practice idea is brought forward through the plant champion into the sector review. At that point, it can either be rejected or accepted. Once it's accepted and entered into the database, immediately that automatic notification goes to the previously identified subject matter expert. And just as a side note, the subject matter experts are assigned according to the various centers, and that will be flexible within your manufacturing or your corporation's layout and characteristics. But these are previously identified subject matter experts within the system that will gain automatic notification to provide feedback during the developmental phases of that best practice. These best practices are then approved or rejected in the overall account champion meeting, and then approved for global sharing, where the other regions who also have these best practice subject matter experts and lead positions will review these best practices and determine applicability within their regions and either accept or not accept those best practices for their region. So just a very simplified flow of how a best practice is developed and initiated and eventually implemented on a global basis. Now I've just pulled out a few of the details of our process just to show that we do have a cost council website that incorporates, as you can see, like I mentioned previously, the consolidation of financial reviews, the best practice, individual plant sufficiency plans, and even the training activities are on this website. Also a screenshot of our best practice homepage where plants can go in and submit a best practice or review existing best practices that are in the system. I'd mentioned earlier there are a couple ways that best practices can be reviewed, and this shows specifically that process. You can see the individual plant status are listed here, and they can be viewed either by center, which we refer to and we've broken down for our organization as, for instance, a body shop, general assembly, maintenance, supply chain, environmental facilities. So these are reports that each plant can bring up and sort on the best practices showing their implementation and approval level. It also identifies for them very quickly which best practices they still need to address or to implement. Again, each plant is provided the ability to sort this information in regard to their implementation status. Here we show by Financial Cost Council the same process and which best practices still need to be implemented. Again, a little bit more detail in regard to our system and the way it's developed. Oops. Here's some of the information I talked about earlier, the summary data in regard to best practice implementation. We've incorporated this information onto the different champion level meeting summary sheets where we have financial summary information and the best practice implementation detail. Just another example of how we report out and how our systems develop these reports automatically each month. And that's all I have for today. I couldn't resist the opportunity of sharing with everyone a picture of our Volt, our new electric vehicle.
Well, thank you, both Steve and Mary. We will now move into about 10 minutes of a facilitated question and answer session. Mary, where do subject matter experts reside within your organization? Are they dedicated to this role, or do they have other jobs with some time allocated to best practice implementation?
Yeah, these are absolutely employees that have other positions. This is where they are called on, like we said, on an as-needed basis to provide their expertise. They are designated by a lead person who is assigned for each of those centers, and so they are known internally by that lead person. For instance, when I said center, the body shop, GA, energy, they assign these best practices to subject matter experts within the organization. So it's a position on top of their current responsibilities.
Okay, great. And Steve, would you say the same for Raytheon?
I would say the same. The variation would be that we have a point of contact through our enterprise energy team for each business unit. And that person is known in the business unit. So if a question, as a question develops within that business unit, they'll pretty much go to that point of contact. And if that point of contact has the information, so be it. Otherwise, the POC has the reach into the various subject matter experts that exist throughout the enterprise.
Okay. Can either of you provide a total amount of energy saved by your employees via these programs? Or do you keep that track of that as a metric that you use?
Yes, we do. As I mentioned earlier, that's part of our, we encourage each of the plants as they implement these best practices to provide savings, cost to implement, so we can get a net savings. Currently, we just have an overall net savings. We don't have an annual year-by-year number, but we do track those savings within each region based on input by the individual plant champions as the best practices are implemented.
Okay.
We do track the savings, but the savings, the way we do it is we will track, first of all, we do it at the MMBTU and, you know, looking at natural gas and electricity, and break it down by utility. And we look at this month, this year, and compare it to last year's performance of the same month. And we derive our savings out of that. So from an energy perspective, we track the savings. The budgeting operation is pretty straightforward as well. However, we usually get budget challenges on the dollars. So we find the purest way to evaluate savings year over year and to show that we're doing our energy conservation job is to show MMBTU reductions. And they have been significant. I don't have a number off the top of my head, but I can certainly send you a note.
And along with that note, many people are asking if Raytheon would be willing to provide a sample of your Energy Citizens Qualifying Quiz.
Be willing to do that. It would not be the current quiz. It would be our learning tool. I would be willing to share something from a previous year. Yes.
Okay, perfect. And Mary Alice, is there a feedback loop for those best practices that have been rejected?
Absolutely. They aren't deleted. They're just rejected. They are kept within the system, and the best practice leads are responsible for managing and maintaining those and reevaluating those with the other best practice leads within that organization. So as they're rejected or they go back to the subject matter expert, they're reevaluated for possible resubmittal.
Okay. And what percentage of employees would you say utilize the best practices database?
Boy, I don't know percentage, but from the meeting structure, I guess, you know, you can look that each plant for each account, there's roughly 8 accounts. There's plant champions for each account at each plant. So that's quite a high level of engagement.
Okay. Excellent. And Steve, who performs the employee energy audits at Raytheon? Are they part of an extracurricular type of activities, or is anyone specifically assigned to lead those employee energy audits?
Okay. As far as employee energy audits, they're really sector or area audits, and the assessment tool was developed by the Enterprise Energy team through looking at and evaluating other assessment tools that have been out there. So it's driven at the pull of the business unit, and depending on what the building is that we will be doing assessments, we'll pull together a team of experts that have the specific expertise, be it in clean rooms or data centers or production areas or lab areas. The individual aspects of it that the energy champions and energy citizens perform, that's pretty much an ongoing random, at random type of an assessment, if you will, and it's very much individualized.
Okay.
And I can give you an answer on the revenue now that I found my source, or the reductions. Over the past 7 years, 7 years being from 2002 through 2009, we had a 16.7% reduction in energy, while the business grew at 33% from a revenue perspective.
Okay.
Our energy intensity also decreased per revenue dollar. So, it's our 7-year energy intensity reduction has been 43.8%. So, you know, some great savings have been attained.
Okay. Great, thank you. So we have time for one more question. If both of you could address, do you teach your carbon footprint? And if so, how much of it is communicated with your employees in terms of how much they contribute to it?
In terms of how an individual employee contributes to it is a difficult thing to get a handle on. But we do communicate what our carbon footprint is. I stated it at 90% is the energy component. The remainder is consumable gases, various gases that we use in production, as well as fleet vehicles and some refrigerants. That gets communicated to the employees widely. We also have a company-wide metric that goes up to our corporate office on a monthly basis to meet our 10% absolute greenhouse gas reduction goal, which was from 2008 as the base year through 2015. After coming across or off of achieving from 2002 through 2008 a 38% reduction of greenhouse gases tied to revenue. We've completed that 1 year earlier and super exceeded the goal. So this next goal we're after is an absolute reduction, which is it's complicated as the business grows. It's really a stretch, but we'll get there.
Mary Alice?
Yes.
Would you say that you guys teach your carbon footprint? And if so, do you communicate to employees in terms of how much they contribute to it?
Yes, we do. We know as a Save Energy Now leader, we're managing that information, and we're reporting out on that on an annual basis. We provide not only energy and water consumption reduction numbers, we also are calculating that on a CO2 reduction basis.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for attending today's webcast. Thank you, Steve and Mary Alice. This presentation will be posted online on ITT's webcast page in both audio and PDF formats. Thank you again, and we look forward to your participation next month. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.